My name is Van Weston, and I'm really excited about this three-week series that we are going to be on a journey together with. I'm on staff here at Christ Church, and all of our studies, just so you know, are open to the community. We're really glad when we have people come in just from the neighborhoods, because Christ Church really sees itself as being kind of a gathering place for this community, a place where we can connect with Jesus Christ to learn more about Him, a place where we can connect with other people in our community, and a place to join in a greater work, which is God's work in this community and in the world. So on each of your tables, you'll see a place. If you're not on our email list, if you would like to be on our email list, you can sign up, and if you sign up and then decide after the teaching you don't want to be on the email list, you can scratch it off. But this way you could hear about other studies and offerings that we're going to be having in the future. The name of this series is called Standing at the Crossroads. And I believe that most of us in this room are standing in some kind of crossroads of life, kind of a place of decision. A place maybe where we can't see where we're going. Maybe we can't see ahead of us or what's ahead. Do I go this way or that way? And many times when we come to a crossroads, it really challenges our faith. Like, where is God in all this? Can I trust Him at this crossroad? Or is this crossroad going to be the very place where I lose my faith? If you aren't at a crossroads right now, you will be, and faith is essential when we're standing at a crossroad. I don't know if you're like me, but do you ever think, like, if only I had more faith, or I wish my faith were a little stronger? Well, during this three-week series, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what faith is. We're going to consider our own faith, and what the Bible tells us about faith, and how we might grow stronger in our faith. We're going to look at what faith is. We're going to look at what faith is not. We're going to look at certain enemies that come and attack and try to steal our faith from us. And we're going to look at some real practical application about how we can strengthen our faith. So, going to be doing. For some of us, we're going to leave this series and we're going to go, wow, this is a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I didn't know having strong faith could be this easy. And for others of us, we're going to question, we're going to go, really? Can it be that easy to have great faith? And I've been at both places, and I continue to be at both places over and over again. Sometimes when we think and we question, can it be this simple? It's because we want to think that our faith is all about us. It's all about our effort. And what we're going to learn is that our role is not what we maybe think it is in faith. That faith is really related to the role that Jesus took for us. It is about the good news of the gospel. If y'all heard that term, good news, well, don't we need some good news? Don't we need some good news today? All you have to do is turn on the news. There is no good news. In fact, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, what happened last night? What happened? Is there any good news? Well, the gospel is called good news for a reason, because there's two truths that are right there in that word. It's good. It's 100% good. It is in the purest way good. And the gospel is news, which means it's relevant. It's breaking into our lives. It is today. It's not old news of something that happened 2,000 years ago. So before we even start, I hope everyone has an outline. You can raise your hand if you don't, and maybe someone will make you and get you an outline. But I just want us to look at three verses before we get started, because these verses kind of sum up the good news. Well, the first one, if you've been in church at all or gone to a VBS, you probably know this one by heart, but it's John 3:16 and 17. But I want us to hear it. I want us to really, really hear it. For God so loved the world that he gave, that's what our God did, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. That means now. That means today. Some people in this room may feel like they're perishing. That's why he came, that we should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Aren't we glad? Aren't we thankful that that was not his mission, to come and to condemn us, but in order that the world might be saved through him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for our sake, do you hear the goodness of God in these verses? Our sake, he, meaning God, made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is good, good news. There is a divine exchange that happened at that cross where Jesus took all of our sin, took our punishment, took everything we deserve, and we, in exchange, get to have everything that he deserved. We get to wear his righteousness. At times, this Christian life can feel very, very difficult. It gets very complex. It feels very confusing. And sometimes we make it more complex than we have to. And Paul addressed this in 2 Corinthians. He addressed it to the Corinthian church. He said, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This good news, the power of it, is that it is simple. If someone's telling you a bunch of hoops you've got to jump through and making it complex, that's what was happening in the Corinthian church. And Paul says, no, the gospel is a simple truth. Jesus took everything that we deserved. He took our punishment. He took our wrath. And we get to receive everything that he purchase for us, including forgiveness and righteousness and eternal life. So that was just a little taste. I want us to settle in. I'm going to play a song. We don't have worship this time, but we're going to use this song as our prayer before we get into this topic of faith, where God might open up our hearts that we might hear from him. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would attend the word that goes out, that you would accomplish all that you desire to accomplish in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are outlines on the table, and what I would encourage you to do, I did include a lot of notes, and if you don't have a Bible, all of it's included in here, but use this as a tool. Put a little check mark on something that really strikes you, or maybe God's going to say something to you that's not in these notes that are you to remember and consider later, or you have a big question mark, or you can write, I disagree with that, whatever you want to do, but use it as a tool so that you can come back and meditate on God's word. So we're going to step into this topic of faith, and it's very hard to think of a topic that is more important than faith, because in the Bible it tells us that we're saved by faith, we're healed by faith, we're to walk in faith, we're to live in faith, and we're told we're to fight the good fight of faith. So what I want to talk about before we get into that is what faith is not, okay? And we may already know all this, but we're going to review it. Faith is not a feeling, women. Faith is not a feeling. Our feelings may be affected by our faith with what we believe, but we better not let our faith be affected by our feelings. Do you understand the difference? We will be wishy-washy and all over the place. Our beliefs need to be grounded in truth, the truth about who Jesus is, because our actions are going to follow something. They're going to either follow what we believe or they're going to follow what we feel. So we get to determine what is the command center of our life. Is it going to be the beliefs, and our beliefs are tied to truth, or are we going to let our feelings be a command center? Our feelings Faith is not a feeling. How many in this room, you don't have to raise your hand, but you can raise it in your own head. How many of you feel close to God tonight? Some of us in this room might feel really, really close to God. Others of us, not so much. Does the truth about Jesus change based on our feelings? No, not at all, because faith is not a feeling. We are to know some things. We're to be like Job and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Knowing is much greater than feeling. We are to know we are forgiven. We are to know we are restored. We are to know that we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Faith is not a feeling. It is connected to what we know. Now, we know that there are times sometimes where we just plain don't know what God is up to. Those are the times that we cling to what we do know He's up to. We always know that He's about our good and about His glory. There are some things that we can know to be true about God, even if we're not sure what He's up to in this particular area. There are some things that we know to be true. We can know His heart, even though we don't understand His hand. And we hang on to what we know is true about His heart when we don't understand His hand. So faith is not a feeling. Faith is also not some mental gymnastic where we go, if I just think really, 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 really hard, I can make things change. If I really have positive energy going this way, or I really think in a positive, positive way. Have you ever tried to make a person change or a circumstance change by having positive thinking? Faith is not a mental gymnastic. Faith is also not denying that things are happening around us. It's not like saying, I just don't see it. I'm not going to go there. I don't want to see what's happening. It's not minimizing the circumstances that are in our life. Hebrews 11, which is the greatest chapter on faith, it says this about faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Two words are right there, sure and certain. Those are really, really strong words. Do those two words describe your faith? Do those two words describe my faith? That I'm sure and I'm certain? Because I'm going to tell you, most things in this life are not sure and certain. Relationships change. People disappoint us. People betray us. Jobs change. Finances change. Health changes. And we all know that our world changes. Turn on the news. Everything changes around us. There is nothing that is sure and certain. But yet the Bible tells us that we can have a faith that's sure and certain in this very uncertain world. The dictionary says this about faith. Faith is a belief in and a devotion to, a trust in somebody or something, especially without logical proof. It also defines faith as a belief and devotion to God. Faith is connected to something else. In the case of Christian beliefs, our faith is connected to Jesus. Is connected to what we believe the cross accomplished for us. Jesus is the object of our faith. He is the centerpiece. So faith does not stand alone. Faith is having trust in Jesus, which results in a belief system, which we begin to see our lives in a different lens, begin to step out and act in a different way. Faith is connected to Jesus. And it's very, very powerful. Even a very small faith that's connected to Jesus is powerful because He's everything. He's not depending on us to have gigantic faith. A small faith connected to Jesus is very, very powerful. Here's the warning in all this. If we don't connect our faith to Jesus, we will connect it somewhere else because faith has to be attached to an object for it to make sense. It has to be attached somewhere. So if you don't attach it to Jesus, and I don't attach it to Jesus, we will find another place to attach it. And it's a counterfeit because these things are not sure and certain. The most popular one that our culture offers is faith in ourselves. Have you ever heard that? Just have faith in yourself. Just believe you can do it. I'm going to tell you, you go to any Hallmark store and try to find a card for somebody going through a tough time, and it is, just believe in yourself. Believe it. You can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. Just believe in yourself. Our culture encourages us to believe in ourselves. The only problem is something deep down inside of us, we know that we're weak in some certain areas. We're disappointed in ourselves in some areas. We see our own shortcomings. And now I'm in this really tough time, and you're telling me to have faith in me? I'm to have faith in Van Westen to move a mountain? I think I need a much bigger object than me to have my faith in. It's counterfeit. Another counterfeit is that we can put our faith in resources. Resources may include our bank account, our finances, our insurance policies, our job, our healthcare plan, our benefits that we get, our education, our social status, the friends that we hang out with. It's easy to slide into this one. We always will become aware of it, though, when it lets us down, because eventually it will be exposed for what it is. And we begin to realize that it's a counterfeit because none of those things are sure and certain. Our jobs aren't sure and certain. Our bank accounts are not sure and certain. Our friendships aren't sure and certain. None of that is sure and certain. The only thing that's sure and certain is Jesus. The Bible tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tomorrow or forever? I don't know. He's forever. He's the same. So he is the only thing that is sure and certain. The other counterfeit that is popular, especially among Christians, is to have faith in our faith. Now, how many of us know that our faith is not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does your faith ebb and flow? I mean, one day I can be really close and soaring with God, and I feel like, come on, bring the giant on. I'm going to sling my stone and knock him down. And then I'm more like Peter, that's kind of just sitting having a conversation and denying Christ three times. Our faith can ebb and flow. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, more than likely you have fallen into this trap. Have you ever thought, if I just had more faith, this wouldn't have happened to me? Or if I'd had more faith, this door would have opened for me. Or if I'd prayed more, or if I'd given more to the, or if I'd been more self-disciplined, I know God would have moved that mountain for me. If only I could just be good enough, I know something would have happened. This is very tiresome. It's very discouraging. It's burdensome to beat ourselves up thinking if we just do something, then God will move. It's a trap. It's not our faith that has any power. It's the object of our faith. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about everything he has made available to us through the cross. The size of our faith is not nearly as important as the object of our faith or what causes us to have faith, because we can have great faith in the wrong thing, and that is called deception. Faith in Jesus, faith in God's word, faith in all the promises of heaven, those are the things that have power. What believers like to do is say, if I can just pray more, if I can just read the Bible more, if I can just do more, then God will move in this way. Those things are all good things. I'm not telling anybody to stop praying. I'm not telling anybody to stop giving to the poor. I'm not telling anybody to stop reading the Bible. Those are results of faith. Those are not prerequisites to have a good faith. And we can get all mixed up and all turned around when we start focusing on all of our effort, thinking that that's what real faith is. When real faith is taking hold of what Jesus has done for us. Our default setting, though, unfortunately, is about us. And we begin to focus on all our we just do more. Something inside of us craves the credit. We want credit. I want to think, I've got more faith in you because I do more than you. I mean, we just have that in us. I pray do, so I have more faith than you do. I mean, we just want the credit. And God's like, no, those are counterfeits. Those are counterfeits. We can't have faith in our faith, and we can't have faith in our resources, and we can't let faith be directed by our feelings. You may remember the story in Matthew 17 where a man comes to Jesus wanting Jesus to heal his son. And this is what it says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, hey, why couldn't we cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for who? For Jesus? No, for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus calls the disciples faithless and perverse. These are really harsh words. What we need to do is consider all that the disciples had seen, that everything that they had seen up until this story. They had been with Jesus for a while, and they had seen great healing. They had seen him heal a man of leprosy. They had seen him heal a man who was paralyzed. And when he said, get up and walk, they had seen the deaf restored to hearing and the blind restored to sight. They had seen Jesus calm a storm. They had seen him feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him raise somebody from the dead. And so Jesus is calling them faithless. Faith moves us in one direction as we focus on Jesus, as we remember everything that he's already done. And that's why the disciples were faithless. They were not remembering Jesus. Faith moves us in one direction. Unbelief moves us in another direction, as we either are focusing on ourselves, or we're focusing on our circumstances, or we're focusing on our own faith. Faith is simple as this sometimes. It's having a good opinion of God. Do I have a good opinion of God in this moment? Do I have a good opinion of God and his heart towards me in these circumstances? It's about having a good opinion of God and remembering all that he has accomplished on the cross. And there's two truths. If you're not familiar with the Bible, I can just give you two that can hold you till you get some more truths under your belt. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Big truth. And he is for you. Unbelief occurs when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we forget some things. So when we are at a crossroads, when we are there, we either turn our eyes and our thoughts to Jesus, or we turn them to ourselves and our circumstances around us. These disciples who could not cast out this demon, where Jesus is saying, oh, faithless, he's telling them they're faithless. Remember all the things that they had seen? These disciples were doing one of two things or both. They either had a very high regard of what they could do. It's like, we've been hanging with Jesus. Look at what we can go and do. We're going to go do it in our own effort. We have a very high regard of ourselves and what we've seen, and we're going to do it our way. They either had a high regard in their own abilities and were not able to cast that demon out, or what they saw was so frightening to them that they forgot everything about Jesus. To see someone having an epileptic seizure, throwing themselves into the fire, probably flailing around, maybe foaming at their mouth, and what happened is unbelief kicked in. Unbelief kicked in because of what they were focused on. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And Jesus is the only object that fits this definition. The disciples were losing their faith because they were focusing on what they could see, not what they couldn't see. We cannot put our faith in ourselves, our resources, our own faith. We can't put our faith in our prayer life or how much we read a Bible. That's not where our faith belongs, because none of those things are sure and certain. Our faith is to be connected to Jesus. And kind of having free-floating faith, not grounded to anything, will not hold us when the storms hit. I was telling the leaders in a meeting right before this, I had a friend, and he's not a Christian, and he was talking about faith. I'm like, what do you have faith in? He said, I have faith in the music. I'm like, you have faith in the music. I don't get that. I don't understand how that works. Like, you can turn on music, you make you feel good for a minute, but I don't understand that free-floating faith that's not grounded will not hold us. So we need to learn about where faith comes from. Where does this sure and certain faith that God is talking about, where does it come from? Because we know we can't purchase it. We know we can't give it to another person. If we see somebody struggling in their faith, I can't give them my faith. It's something that is theirs and theirs. Well, Ephesians 2:9 tells us that faith is a gift. It is a gift of God. We don't receive faith because we earn it. We don't receive faith because we're more spiritual than another person. It is a gift, and our part is to receive the gift. So where does it come from? We know it comes from God, and it comes as a gift, but this part is really, 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 really important. This is the key to having faith, to having a strong faith. And I pray, and I've been praying all day about this, that the Holy Spirit would just so attend each one of us, that we would really get this. Romans 10:17 tells us where faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The ESV, the translation, is the word of Christ. This is a very, very profound verse, and we're going to stay here for a moment because it's so important. It's so important to the application of our lives and how we might live in faith. This verse says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. This is hearing the truth about Jesus. It's an internal hearing. It's a spiritual hearing. It's a deep, deep understanding of who he is. It's that kind of understanding where you ask yourself questions and you ask God questions and you get in his word. It's an understanding in which you're involved in kind of the revelation of it. You're asking God to reveal more and more. It's a deep revelation of who Jesus is, what he accomplished on the cross for us. It's about hearing the good news, the truths about God's kingdom, all about God's promises. It's understanding the salvation that Jesus purchased for us. In the Greek word for salvation that is used so often is sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it is so much more than forgiveness of sins. I think that sometimes we're just sitting there, God, forgive me, forgive me. He's like, I've forgiven you, but I've got a lot more of things I want to give you other than forgiveness of sins. Salvation is healing. It is provision. It is deliverance. It is protection. It is safety. It is complete in every way. In fact, sozo, salvation, is something we need now. We don't need it in heaven. I don't need protection in heaven. I don't need provision in heaven. I need it today. Salvation is for this world. And salvation is a gift. It's a gift of grace. And what that means is that it is undeserved. It is unearned. It is the favor of God. And this faith, it comes from hearing this really, really good news of the gospel. When we hear about Jesus and all that he's accomplished for us, faith comes. Some of you are hearing me right now, and something inside of you is going, yes, yeah. And others of us are in this room are going, I want that to be true. I really do want that to be true. Faith comes from hearing. And when that faith comes, that's the mountain-moving faith, because that's the faith that's connected to Jesus. I've been reading through the Gospel of Luke, and there's this one thing that has really stood out at me. Over and over, you see this blueprint throughout the gospel. It says that as people were hearing Jesus teach, as he was preaching, power was being released for forgiveness, for healing, for deliverance. Hearing precedes these great moves of God. You hear over and over, Jesus went around preaching and teaching and healing. It's that order. It's a blueprint. It's in as people were hearing the truth. Do you think God's going to perform miracles when people are hearing lies? No, because he doesn't want them to get mixed up. He doesn't want the lie to get the credit, because he knows they can never live on that lie. So miracles are connected to hearing the truth about Jesus. And when we hear the truth, faith comes. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is not a one-time hearing. This isn't like, oh, I heard it. It's not a one-time hearing. It's a hearing and a hearing and a hearing, so that we really, really hear. Have you ever experienced this? I know I have, where I'm hearing somebody teach on a Bible story, and I'm like, I know that story. And all of a sudden, I hear something. I'm like, I have read that story 100 times. And I had never heard that. It's a hearing over and over and over again about God's word. It's not an auditory hearing. It's not just because your ears work and you're hearing words. It is a heart hearing thing. I know in teachings, even like tonight, some people are hearing. We're all hearing. I'm talking. But some of us are hearing, and others are hearing. They're hearing. And faith is rising up in them, and something's clicking, and something's going, I get it. I get it. I get it. Because there's a heart hearing. We are to incline our ears to hear. That's our job, to say, God, I'm going to incline my ear. That's why I started with that song, Speak, O Lord. Let me hear it. Let me really, really hear it. This is what Solomon, this was his prayer when he came into the throne after King David, and he asked God for one thing. This is what he said: give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart. Give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart. A hearing heart, when we have it with God's word, that's when faith comes. And when faith comes, healing comes, and deliverance comes, and forgiveness comes, and mountains move in our life. Faith comes from hearing. So the application, the big so what for all of us, is if we need more faith, if you're in need of more faith, this is how simple it is. This is how simple. Don't go read your Bible for 20 hours in a row. That's not what I'm going to tell you to do. I'm not going to tell you fast for 5 days. I'm not saying those things are bad. Those aren't bad things. Those are good things. All we have to do is incline our heart to hear the word of Christ. This is not a one-time hearing. It's if our faith ebbs and flows. Sometimes we have great faith because we're hearing a lot, and we're taking in a lot of God's word. But when our faith starts to sink, this is the solution: to hear the truth about Jesus. It's just like food and water. We need food and water every day in order to live. Jesus was tempted by Satan. He found himself at a crossroads. And this is what it says in Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God. Satan right there is questioning God's word, because right before this, Jesus had been baptized. And God had said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And here's Satan, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This is how we are to live. We are to live by the word of God. Jesus actually is described as the word in the Gospel of John. There is breakthrough that we hear the truth about Jesus. So if we need breakthrough in our life, we need to be hearing more and more about him, because life is hard, isn't it? I don't know if your life's hard, but my life can get really, really hard. And God is so good, and he is so gracious to give us such a simple way to connect with our faith. How good is he to do that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So if we want more faith, we learn to position ourselves in a way that we're hearing. We sit under teaching where people are pointing to Jesus. We read the word out loud so that we can hear it and see it and hear it ourselves and hear how it sounds. We can simply say things like, Jesus loves me. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus loves me. In the middle of this mess, Jesus loves me. I'm going to have a good opinion of God. I'm going to have the right regard for who he is. And he is for me. We have to learn to sit under the spout that's shooting the faith at us, that's helping us take hold of what God has given us. And I want to say, it's so much like eating. It really, truly is. If we want to live, we have to do this all the time. I could have eaten a humongous meal, which I probably did last week, a dinner where I'm about to bust, where I'm uncomfortable. Do you think that's kept me from eating this week? No. I cannot live on the memory that I was really full last week, every day. It doesn't matter if I ate a lot last week. I'm going to eat today. And that's what that's the same with his word. We can sit and we can go, I went to a really good conference, or I sat in a three-week series, or I read a devotional, or I really got into this. And that's good, but that memory will not hold you when you come against a crossroad of life. It is so important that we get it. We're going to look at a really familiar story that many of us have heard before. I'm going to get Janet to read it out loud. And you can talk loud, can't you, Janet? It's the story of the woman who had the issue of blood.
The reading is from Mark chapter 5, 24 through 34. And all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, for she'd gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel it in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at the crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over.
Okay. So we're going to look at this a little bit at a time. I wanted to hear the whole story, and then I'm going to start it, and I'm going to ask you some questions. This is going to be please somebody talk, okay? So a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay for them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Okay, what in these few verses do we know about this woman? She's desperate. Say it louder if you're. She had tried everything. She spent all of her money. She's broke. She what? Right, well, don't say that yet. We're just in these verses. Just in these verses. What do we know about her? Just stay in these verses. She's suffering. She's had this condition for 12 years. You know, a few versions of this story say she had an issue with blood. I laugh at that because I'm thinking, have you ever had an issue? I mean, and this one's had this issue for 12 years. I mean, talk about having an issue. So we know she's probably not physically feeling good. She's poor. She's gone to all these doctors. She's tried everything. She is an outcast because in this particular culture in Judaism, she was considered unclean. She was just like a leper. Anybody that had any kind of discharge thing going on, they were considered unclean. And if she sat on a chair and then you came and sat on that chair, you're unclean. That's how far she had to stay away. If this woman was married, she hadn't seen her husband in 12 years. So we've got that going on, that there's this unclean, clean thing going on. The other thing is that women were not supposed to touch men if they weren't married to them. They were not supposed to touch them. And then you've got Jesus, who's a rabbi. He's a holy man. And you've got this woman with these issues going on. So there should have been major separation. Did y'all ever read that book, The Scarlet Letter? That's what made me think of her. I feel like she didn't have the scarlet letter for adulteress on her. She didn't even have the scarlet B for bleeding. She had the scarlet U, unclean. How would you like that to be who you were? Like everybody in your community, they all know you're the unclean one. You're the unclean one. You've been unclean for 12 years. Everybody knows that about this woman. So her story. Okay, so that's what we know about her condition. Now we're in verse 27. She heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Her, another version says, she said to herself. So her thinking, look at what she's thinking. She's thinking, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Why did she think she would be healed? Where did her faith come from? Where did it come from? Look in that verse. It's in the verse. It's hidden. She had heard about Jesus. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard something. And what it did is it, when she heard it, faith came, and she acted on it. What had she heard? That made me think, what had she heard? So I started looking in my Bible, because this is in Mark 5. So I looked at Mark 1 through 4. These are the kinds of things that happened before this event. Jesus had healed a man with leprosy. Guess what? Unclean. That happened in Mark chapter 1. He healed somebody unclean. In Mark chapter 2, there was a man who was paralyzed. You talk about hopeless condition where you haven't walked, and somebody says, get up and walk. So Jesus has touched someone unclean. He's come up to someone who had a hopeless condition. He is found eating at the home of sinners. Other unclean people. Jesus is getting around all these unclean people. The woman had heard that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath in Mark 3, which means that Jesus is giving this message that I am here about extending God's love to you. I'm here to extend his life to you. And that mission is going to supersede these religious traditions and rules. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break through that barrier. I'm going to break through the religious system because I came to bring life. So maybe this woman's hearing about this and she's thinking, well, he's already touched somebody that's unclean. Maybe he'll touch me. And maybe he won't care as much because I know that he's breaking these rules and regulations. In chapter 4, what we know is that Jesus calmed a storm with just his words. Well, if he could do that, maybe he could change me with one touch. Or maybe she had heard about what happened in chapter 5 where Jesus walked among the tombs, another unclean place, where he encountered a guy that was full of demons, another unclean thing, an unclean spirit that was tormenting this guy. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. She had heard a lot about Jesus, and faith came. And when faith comes, things change. Verse 29, immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Something happened, and she knew it happened. When she heard about Jesus, faith came, and this faith had nothing to do with her feelings. It had nothing to do with her circumstances, because her circumstances were not very good. We need to realize that if we want mountain-moving faith, it has nothing to do with our feelings, and it has nothing to do with the circumstances. In verse 30, it says this: Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd, and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" There are a lot of people who are touching Jesus, but not all people are being healed. She was stepping out in faith because she had heard about him. In verse 32, it says, "But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done." Now, do you think Jesus knew who touched him? He's God. I think he knows who touched him. I believe with all my heart that Jesus knew who touched him. I think that he wanted her to know that he knew who touched him. He wanted her to know that she hadn't stolen something from him that he wasn't willing to give her. He didn't want her to leave thinking, I stole a little goodie from Jesus. No, he wanted her to know that it came from him willingly. He wanted to restore her. He wanted to do it, and he wanted to restore her completely, because this woman needed more than just a physical healing. She needed restoration probably of her finances. She probably needed to be restored to her community. She was broke and she was ostracized. She came for a healing, and Jesus gave her more than a healing. Do you know that God always gives us more than? That he's that kind of God. He longs to give you more, whatever you're begging him for. He is thinking, "I want to give her more than that. I just so want to give her more than that." Everything changed for this woman. She has been wearing this big red U, unclean, for 12 years. And Jesus is telling all those crowd around her that she's been restored, that things have been changed. Listen to this in verse 34. He said to her, "Daughter, I'm included, a word of endearment, a word of inclusion, a word that means intimate closeness, friendship, a welcome. Daughter, your faith has made you well." It's made her not only physically well, it's made her whole. It says, "Go in peace." The word there would have been shalom. Shalom is such a powerful word. It is completeness. It is wholeness in every way. Your suffering is over. Do you think this woman was only suffering physically? I don't think so. I think she had a lot of suffering mental, a lot of anguish, a lot of just, she was suffering in every way possible. Because he didn't say, "Your physical problems dealt with. You know, we'll get you a psychiatrist for the rest." No, he's saying your suffering is over. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." This woman did not rely on a counterfeit. She certainly did not have faith in herself. She certainly didn't have faith in her resources, because she had none. And she certainly didn't have faith in the experts around her. this woman had faith, and this faith came from hearing the word of Christ, the word about Jesus. This word, this life-giving word, had gotten out. People were talking about him, and she heard it. She had heard this really, really good news, that he came to bring salvation, sozo life. And this is what gave her the courage to go there and to touch him. I'm going to say it again. If you don't know much about God's word, I encourage you to get in it and to hear about Jesus and to learn and ask yourself questions and ask other people questions and get good commentary. Get under somebody that's going to point to Jesus. Listen on the internet. Listen to him and faith will come. There's two simple truths that can hold us every time, though. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, and he loves you. And he knows everything you're going through, and he is for you. And he's for you, too. He is pulling for you. Don't those truths make a difference? As we stand at a crossroad in our life, and we just hold on to that Jesus loves us. Faith begins with what we believe about Jesus in the moment. We can't eat and depend on last week's meal. It's in the moment. It's in the moment to know that he loves us. I want us just to have a quiet moment. I want you just to say it in your heart to yourself. Jesus loves me. Jesus knows everything going on in my life, and he is for me. At times, faith is simply having a really good opinion about who God is. Lord Jesus, I pray that that we might just desire to know you more, to know the good news you long to give us each and every day. I pray that we all might know more of who you are, know the depths of your love for us, that we might hear the word about you so that faith would come into our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit and that you would attend us in the small group time, that that we might ponder these truths, that we might look at your word, that we might ask questions. Come and be present. In Jesus' name, amen.